Today I bring you grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who calls us together in fellowship. I'd like to talk about how to have a true heart experience regarding the Christian faith. How to have a true heart experience regarding the Christian faith. This subject is very important because far too often today we find Christians who have had only a ceremonial experience of Christianity. And when I talk about a ceremonial experience, it has to do with the fact that many of us have experienced God through baptism, through communion, through confirmation, and all these things. We've had a ceremonial experience of Him and without the actual faith experience where God dips a pin of love in the heart of man. And that is missing. So the ceremonies of baptism and confirmation and all these things, even though it's God's means, through which He dispenses grace to us, that is, when we baptize people, it is God's means through which He extends His grace to us. When people take communion, it is God's means through which He dispenses grace. When we sit here under the authority of my voice and you hear the word of God, it is God's means through which He dispenses grace to us and we receive faith through those means. But without proper understanding of this purpose, of the purpose for which God is doing this, can leave us only dangling into ceremonial experiences. All right? Instead of having a faith moment with God or a faith experience with God, we are dangling into what I would term as a ceremonial experience. So God's ultimate objective for having or giving us these means of grace is this. This one reason why God gives us His means of grace is to transform the soul of man. That's the reason why He gives us this grace, is to transform man's heart and to convert it and bring it to Him. God wants to get to the heart. So all of this stuff we're doing, the church issues, the baptism, the word of God, the communion, and all these things we're doing, is only God trying to get to the heart of man. When I stand up and preach God's word, the one objective behind this is so that God would get to the heart of every man. God is not only interested in us receiving a head knowledge of Him or understanding Him from our heads, but He wants us to know Him from the heart. And that's the objective behind all of this. You see, it's like the doctor. If you went to the doctor and you had an issue, and you went and explained that your body is doing some weird things and that it needs to be fixed, the doctor is going to carry you through some processes to try to help target that very issue that your body has. And so you go through all these different stages of tests so that the doctor will find out exactly what the problem is. And when he finds out what the problem is, it may call for you to do an operation or something of that sort. Now you have to go through the process to get prepared for operation, and they take you in the operation room just to serve that one purpose. You have to go through a lot of stuff for the doctor to fix that one problem you have. It's the same thing with God. When you look around church and you see the amount of things that we do here at church, you know, it seems to be so much. But the one reason why we have to go through all of this is so that God would get to the heart of every man. Look at what he says in Joel 2:13. In Joel 2:13, he says, "Rent your hearts and not your garments. Rent your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God." And notice that God in this text is speaking to Israel. These are the people who went at the temple and did the ceremonial sacrifices on a regular basis. They were always there making burnt offerings and sacrifices to God. But it was not settling the matter or the purpose for which God came to man. Even though God designed those things and put it in place for them to do it, and the renting of the garments and all the kind of stuff, God put it in place that when they fast, they must go and rent the garments and sit in sackcloth and ashes. But yet the heart of man was not yet satisfying the justice of God. So God comes in the text and says, even though you're doing all of this, yeah, it's my thing. I would like you to rent your hearts and not your garments. Bring your hearts. When we come at a communion table, God is saying, bring your heart. When you sit under the authority of the word of God, bring your heart. Let your heart be set on receiving God's word. Let your heart be brought to that point of transformation as God's word comes in. And this is what he's talking about. So far too many Christians today are enduring Christianity instead of enjoying it. All right? You got too many Christians who are enduring Christianity instead of enjoying it. And the simple reason is because it is seen as another religion. We see Christianity as another religion, and rather than only the only means of salvation, all right, or the means of life, or true life. See, Christianity is not another religion. Religion is a matter of endurance because it lacks the joy and passion that true salvation brings to us, all right? It is man's way of getting to God. That's what religion is. Man's way of getting to God. Man formulates his way of getting to God. But Christianity is God's way of coming to man. All right? So that's the difference. And so people are trying to get to God, and they're coming up with all these kind of systems and ideas to get to God. And we, in our own strength, cannot get to God. We don't have the power, the capacity, the knowledge, the understanding, the strength to get to God. We do not have it. So God comes to us through the means of Christianity. And this is what it is. So many people are enduring Christianity. They don't enjoy it. And that's why you see one moment they are in God, the next moment they are outside of God. They don't stay focused. They don't stay steadfast in the things of God because it is like they are enduring. But God does not come so that we can endure. God comes so that we can enjoy. All right? That's why he comes to us. So every Christian whose heart have reached God, have touched the throne of God, have touched the cross of Christ, can tell you and testify about the joy that they experience on the inside, and that thing that keeps drawing them closer and closer to the cross is because they've had this relationship with Jesus Christ. This is a personal stuff. It is not about what my mama feels or my daddy feels or my friends feel, but it is about what God has done inside of my heart. He started something in there that will not let me go. And every time I try to go, I can't go because of this love that is bubbling in my heart. This is what God is doing in the church today in such a time as this. Look in Romans 14, verse 7, what Paul says. He says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, one, peace, and joy in the Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Spirit is the three things that God brings to us as he comes to us. It is not only about us being saved through the cross of Christ, but God wants to give us a peace that passes all understanding, my friends. We're living in a chaotic world. Every time there is problems here, problem there. Problem can never go away, all right? But in the face of that, God wants to give you a peace that your mind would not understand. Why you are still standing while the storm is blowing. It's what God wants to do for us. So once we have this Jesus and we start this relationship with him, he comes not to only bring us righteousness, but to bring us peace. But God doesn't only come to bring us peace. He also comes to bring us joy in the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Holy Spirit comes for, to give us joy. You see, when you see me dancing, I'm not crazy, but it is the Holy Spirit that is inside of me that caused me to wave my hands before God in church and sing to his praises. And sometimes people don't understand why we do those things, but because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And this is the reason why we do these things. The point here, folks, is Christianity is about having a good time with God. That's what it's all about. It's having good time with God, having those good time with God. Look at what David says in Psalm 122, verse 1. He says, I rejoice when those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. When it was time to go to God's house, how do you feel when you get up in the morning and it's time to go to church? How do you feel? Even though the body feels tired and weary, I had to get up at 6 this morning to be in the 2 services. And I got up before 6 o'clock and looked at the clock, and I was going, man, you mean it's almost 6 already? You mean I got to get out of bed already? But then inside of me, there was a joy bubbling because I had this word to give to you, because I had to come and worship God this morning. What a joy it is to be in the fellowship of believers and be in the presence of God and hearing his word. I can't wait to get there, was what was on the other side. There is a joy, my friends. There is a joy that we experience when we come in God's presence. So God's ultimate objective is to change our hearts. That's the first thing he wants to do. And just for the record, and from my own personal experience, folks, listen, the new heart that God gives is better than the old one. The new heart God gives is better than the old one. The Bible tells us that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. The reason why all things become new is because the heart inside of us, God changes and it has become new. And when people see us, they don't see the old you, they see the new you, because it is no longer you that lives, but Christ who lives inside of you. And he brings this joy. I come across folks all the time who would tell me, what do you go to church for? It's so boring. It's so boring being in church. Why do you go there? I say, oh, you see, it's boring because you have not yet experienced what I have experienced. But you see, when you experience what I have experienced, you will get to understand why I go. You see, for me, what you are doing is boring. What I'm doing is not boring. It is joy unspeakable. That's the joy that Jesus gives, my friends. And when you come in contact with it, your life is never the same again. Your life is never the same again. You want to serve him all the days of your life because you pledge your allegiance to him. And so the question now will be, how do I turn my heart over to God? To help us answer this question, let's turn to our gospel lesson for today, Matthew 16, verses 21 through 28. Jesus explains to his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the chief priests, and that he would be killed in the process. And the Bible says after he explains all of that, Peter took him aside to talk him out of it, to tell him that this is just wrong. Look at all the people that are following you. Look at us. What's going to happen after you are gone? What's going to happen to us and these people if you die? You can't let that happen. You raised Lazarus from the grave. You can't let that happen. You got life. You got everything. You can stop this from happening. And he's going on and on and on and on. You know, you think about this. You think about how it gets these different discouragements that come in our way when we're trying to push forward for God. When we hear the voice of God and God is calling you to do a particular thing for you or God or for him, or he's calling you to get more serious about his business and get involved in the church. And you sit there and you're contemplating on this thing and concentrating on it, and these different voices begin to speak to you. And you start looking at all of this stuff and tasks that you have to do that would not allow you to do this. But you know God is calling you to do it because you feel good about it when you think about it. All right? But then you are being drawn away by the devil. And so it is in this situation, God had called Jesus Christ for this one purpose, and the one purpose was to go on that suffering cross and die and shed his blood to bring mankind unto himself. And so there was no other way for that to happen but through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And say, yes, it's Peter talking Jesus out of it. And many times we face that in life. And Jesus Christ addresses Peter in this situation. The Bible says Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Go behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but rather merely human concerns." You see, human concerns can be very dangerous. Human concerns can block us from seeing God's will for our lives. And it can drift us away from the truth. Human concerns. There are a lot of humanistic ideas out in our world today. All right? Philosophical ideas that are so far removed from theological truth. And you find many Christians dangling into it. Because why? We don't cling to the Word of God. We're taking this idea and taking that idea and taking this idea and we mix it all up in a bowl and see what it comes up to be like, and then we taste it, and if it tastes good, we take it. But that's not what God is calling us to do. He's telling us to be very firm and steadfast in him. You see, we are coming towards the end time, and I don't care what anybody says about that. The signs of the time has been seen out in the world today. And God is calling us to draw closer to the cross and cling to the cross so that when he comes, he will receive us unto himself. But then on the other hand, there are all of the suggestions of the world out there trying to pull us away from God. So we just talked about how we need to cling to God and be very concerned about that. We are called to deny ourselves. It's the first point I want to talk about now. The first point is we are called to deny ourselves. In Matthew 16, verse 24, when Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves." All right? When he says this, this phrase literally means to completely disown or utterly separate one from oneself. How you do that? How you separate one from oneself? But that's what Jesus is telling us to do. And the reason he's saying that is because we are made not of just one being, but we are one being, but made out of various parts. So you have a body and you have a soul that lives in this body. And so when Jesus comes and brings salvation to us, he doesn't redeem the body, but he redeems the soul that is in the body. And because this soul that is in the body is redeemed, this is the reason why this body still gets old and wither away and die because of sin. But the soul inside of us is redeemed. So Jesus Christ here in the text is saying that denying self would mean to deny this body and allow yourself, your spirit, to worship him. And in order for our souls to worship God or our spirit to worship God, we have to deny ourselves, our bodies. Because the body wants everything. The body likes everything. The body feels everything. The body has a physical contact to this physical world. And because of that, it is always trying to pull us into the direction of the world. And Jesus saying in this text that we need to deny it. You need to chain it down and keep it from carrying you which and every way. We need to stop our bodies. It's what Jesus is saying. So we must deny ourselves, literally means to disown or utterly separate one from oneself. And that's what the scripture says, that it is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. All right? So one who is a disciple of Christ is to utterly disown himself, refuse to acknowledge the old man and the desires of the flesh. We have to do that. And the question may be how. Romans 6:11 says it. We are to count the old man as being dead. It's the first thing you do. It says, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive in God in Christ Jesus. It's what the text says. And the word count here is talking about the word consider, to consider yourself. To consider means you need to walk and accept the reality that you are a changed person. Consider that as you move on. Consider that you are dead to sin. The reason why we need to do that is because Jesus came for what? To die for our sins. Jesus didn't come to just make a public show on the cross, but he came to die for our sins. And if he died for our sins and have redeemed us from our sins, then it means that we need to be denying sin. We need to consider ourselves dead from sin. Okay? And it's what Jesus is saying in Romans 6:11. So we count ourselves dead from sin. In Romans 13:14, it says, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. We are to make no provision for the flesh. No provision for the flesh. It's the Bible. It's the word of God I'm giving to you. And the third one is we are to live our lives as one alive to God, but dead to sin and to this world. In Galatians 2:20, it says what? I have been crucified with Christ. You see, when Jesus went on that cross and was nailed on that cross, hung high and stretched wide, on that cross, every boy, girl, woman, man who has been saved was nailed on that cross with him at the same time. And so the text comes and tells us that we have been crucified. What we should have done, the penalty for our sins, Jesus took it on the cross. And because he did it, we are freed. And so when he was nailed, we were nailed on the cross as well. And our sins has been paid for. So because of that, we no longer live in sin. We are crucified with Jesus Christ. So we just talk about how we are called to deny ourselves. Next thing, we are called to pick up our crosses. Look in Matthew 16:24. It says, then Jesus says to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciples, listen, here's the phrase, must deny themselves and take up their cross. You see, when Jesus told his disciples that they had to pick up their crosses, they knew what he was talking about. They knew exactly what he was referring to because they lived in a time when the Romans were crucifying people on the cross. So they knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. They knew it was a call to a death march. Pick up your cross. Pick up your cross because this is a death march. And I'm taking it. I'm going first. I'm going to Jerusalem and I'm going to be killed, he said to them. All right? I'm the first. And so anyone else who's following me must be prepared for that. In this world, folks, as long as the church follows Jesus Christ, there will be persecution. The church will continue to face persecution. And if we are not ready for persecution, if we are not ready for these things, then don't follow Jesus Christ. Because every true disciple of Christ, we have to face persecution, and sometimes even persecution that would lead to death. Right now, as we are in this worship service, there are Christians around the world who are being persecuted for the gospel's sake. Right now, there is somebody somewhere right now who is being killed right now because of the name of Jesus Christ. And this is exactly what Jesus is talking about in this text, that we need to pick up our crosses, every single one of us. And I asked this question in church before, and I asked it now again. What will you do if, for some apparent reason, you were caught into this situation where they said if you denounce Jesus, you will be led free, and if you confess him, you will die? What will you do? Will you deny Jesus, or will you confess him and die? But this is what it means to pick up your cross and follow Jesus, because Jesus has some people in this world who really, really hate him, all right? And would do anything to destroy the church. And that's why we as the church need to stand firm. And this is why he said further into this text that in Matthew 16:25, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. All right? So when a person dies or is persecuted because of Jesus Christ, he's saying to them, you will find your life. You will find your life. And so the text reminds me of those who think that there are better things to do out there than serving God. There are many people who think that way, you know. Why are you in the church? Why are you serving God? What do you get from out of serving God? Folks, this is all about eternal life. This is not about the temporal life. What we do here is about eternal life. This is where we come and find hope in God, all right? And this is the wisest thing for anyone to ever do, to follow Jesus Christ and find that hope. Because you see, all of our aspirations in this life is going to come to an end at some point. At some point, we will die, every single person. So all of the retirement plans that we have and all the beach house, dream house that we have in mind, all that stuff is going to come and pass away. And then we stand before God. Then what? What next is the question. Eternity, friends, is what we need to pay attention to more than anything else. The last point this morning is we are called to live out our faith. So we talked about how we are called to deny our faith. We are called to pick up the cross. Lastly, we are called to live out our faith. Look in Matthew 16, verse 24. He says, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves, pick up the cross, and follow me. See, this text suggests to us that we are not to only pick up our crosses, but we are also commanded to follow Jesus Christ. We are not to back out or lay down the cross, but give it our all to his glory. That's what the Bible is calling us to do. So now, this is number one rule for following that I want to leave with you before I close. Number one rule for following. The number one rule for following is to keep your eyes focused on the one you are following. Keep your eyes focused on the person you are following. That's number one rule. The scripture tells us in Hebrews 12, seeing that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight, all right, and run with perseverance the race, keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ. Is what that text is in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. So keeping your eyes on the person you are following is very important. You know, before GPS, many times if you're traveling with going to somebody's house, they'll tell you, drive behind me, right? Drive behind me, and we get there. And so you get on the road, and you're driving behind this person, and usually a car, one or two cars will come between the two of you. But you better keep your eyes on that car. Keep your eyes on the car that you're following. You don't keep your eyes on the cars that came between you guys. You keep your eyes on the one that you're following. If three cars come over, you got to keep your head up. Keep your eyes on that car. Because if you lost track of that car, you're not going to get to that destination. You're lost. And that's exactly what the text is telling us. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. He says, follow me. Follow me because there are too many attractions out there. Follow me because there are too many distractions out in the world today. It is a sad thing to see how many Christians have fallen away from their faith. You see how these pews are empty? It is because so many Christians are wearing the label Christians, but they are not in the faith. They've dropped out of the race. It is a sad thing. Jesus Christ asked a question. He says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith when he comes back? So many people are falling away from the cross because of the distractions and the attractions that are out there in the world. Folks, listen, if we ever needed Jesus, it's now. Follow him, he says. Not follow you. Not follow your passions. Not follow your desires. Not follow your will. Not follow your friends. Not follow your parents. He says, follow me. We got young kids in the church that would grow up with their parents, and the moment they reach that adult age and start making decisions on their own, they walk away. That's because they never were following Jesus. Parents, we need to help our children see Jesus for themselves And that's to grow older. You have no fear. Follow me. It's the message that I'm leaving with you today. If you got nothing out of the message, listen, follow Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And our job is to only follow him. I pray that these words from God this morning would encourage your hearts and keep you steadfast in your faith, knowing always if you follow Jesus that he will never bring you this far and leave you. God will never teach you to swim and let you drown. He will not build his home in you and move away. Listen, God will never lift you up and let you down. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, amen.